Hello again. The annual St. Louis Fringe Festival begins today, featuring everything from storytelling to burlesque to visual arts. St. Louis On the Air contributor Steve Potter takes a closer look at a festival that both CNN and the New York Times have recognized as one of the best.
The St. Louis Fringe Festival is set to begin its fifth season, and this will be the last for founding executive director Impero. Matthew Kearns is taking over the helm. Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Elizabeth Townsend and Dan Viggers will be performing separately. Hi to both of you.
Hello. Hello. Good to be here.
Matthew Kearns, Fringe. Why is that a good name for what's happening during this festival?
Well, Fringe is a good name because it's historic. So it comes from the Edinburgh Theater Festival. There was a movement of people who didn't get into that festival that went to the outskirts of it and created their own festival on the fringe of their festival. So that's where it comes from, and it's spun across fringe festivals across the world.
I also sort of interpreted it to mean that some of the performances were kind of on the fringe.
Absolutely. So you are going to get the avant-garde, the independent, and the brand new works that you wouldn't see in other theaters here in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, what does a fringe festival mean to you?
Oh, this is first of all, thank you so much, Fringe Festival, for providing this venue for my play, The Count Time, The Life and Times of Patricia Pruitt. It is a message that I want to get out to people, to Governor Nixon. This woman's been incarcerated for 30 years for a crime she didn't commit, and this is our first opportunity to bring it to the public.
And Dan, you're doing sort of a political satire, would you put it that way?
Yeah, definitely.
With puppets.
With puppets, that's right. And the Fringe Fest, for me, I would have never even done this. Like, you get a lot of ideas, they go through your head when you're a writer, and this one popped up like last December or something, when Donald Trump gave this ridiculous interview saying he had a kind of disadvantaged childhood, and then he was poor and had to overdo it. And the first thing I thought was, oh, this is a musical. And then I thought, the Fringe Fest. That's why I started working on it, because the Fringe Fest is a nice opportunity to get these odd projects that no one else would produce out there.
Is that what it is, Matthew?
I like to say independent art. So we are a home for ideas that can take root. We are a home for anything from dance to slam poetry to puppetry to family stuff to micro theater, which are 20-minute shows that seat as many as 13 people.
All right, now you say family stuff, and I know you have some of that, but my impression is, correct me if I'm wrong, that maybe most of it is not family friendly, or let's just say for adults.
Most of it is for adults. Most of it are really solid, mature pieces of work, like Count Time, that are exploring topics and tackling different issues that are political and social altogether.
But people shouldn't be concerned, because you let people know ahead of time what's what.
Everything in our program guide is rated and listed so that you can understand what you want to see and what might be out of the realm of your scope.
And just briefly describe what this week is going to be like, because there are a lot of venues. Yeah, a lot of different times, a lot of different dates.
There are six venues. We are across Grand Center, so you can hop online and buy tickets, or you can go to the box office right outside of Strauss Park. And from there, you can walk following our new logo, the flamingo. So you'll have pink flamingos all over Grand Center pointing in the direction of venues that will take you to these venues that every hour turn over into a different show. So you're looking at 30-some-odd acts and over 100 performances in 6 days.
Right. And people do their acts more than once on different days at different times.
All over the place.
And where are people coming from? Dan and Elizabeth happen to be St. Louis people.
We also have folks coming from Colorado this year. We have a girl band coming from Nashville. There's a guy from California coming. So, I mean, they're really spanning the country.
Fringe festivals are very popular in certain cities across the country. Dan and Elizabeth, have you gone to other cities to participate in those?
I have not.
No. I have not yet either.
Have you done it here before?
No.
Really?
Right.
Elizabeth, let's talk about you. What's your background then? What brought you to the Fringe Festival?
Well, I'm a professional actress. I've been in St. Louis for 6 years. I met this amazing woman, Patricia Pruitt, in prison.
Now, this is what your act is about.
That's exactly what it's about. It's about her. I interviewed all the people that I'm playing. I'm playing nine characters in it. And I was looking for a venue, appropriate venue. And this is certainly it.
So you're working on this project in your head before you knew where you were going to do it?
Oh, absolutely. I've been working on it since the summer of 2013.
So Patricia Pruitt is in jail as we speak for murder.
Yes.
But you say she was wrongly convicted.
Absolutely, yes. Her sentence was life with no hope of parole for 50 years.
What happened?
What happened was in the middle of the night on February 18th, 1984, her husband was shot with his own gun and she was sexually assaulted. The sheriff comes in within 2 hours. He's looking through the file cabinet for insurance papers. They never look for an intruder. They don't do basic police work. They pretty much decided it was her because I guess 85% of murders between spouses is a spousal crime. And there was a lot of gender bias. It was rural Missouri in 1984, and she was a powerful, brilliant woman who helped oust a crooked mayor there in Holden for embezzling money. Her and her husband were tracking down some drug leads because the drugs were being sold in the area, and I really think that someone connected with the drug trade killed him.
But how did you become convinced that she didn't do it? And why were you interested to begin with?
Well, a wonderful man that some of your listeners will know, Danny Cole, he handed me a poem to read. I was at a fundraiser after closing a show at St. Louis Actor Studio. And I was polite and I read it. And it was called Keep It Real. And I'm like, oh my God, a toe tagger slated to die in prison? Who is this? And he introduced himself, Danny Cole. This is Patricia Pruitt. She's been incarcerated for 27 years for crimes she didn't commit. I'm looking for someone to do a one-woman show. It's time she comes home to her family. And I'll tell you, I become convinced after 3 years of getting to know her and her family and everyone around her, this woman had no reason to kill her husband. She was an educated woman. She could have divorced him. The insurance money wasn't enough to get out of debt. I mean, there was no reason to kill him. And let me tell you another thing. The sentence was, her motive supposedly was lust and greed, which is a bizarre thing. And one of her lawyers, whom I had a long conversation with, he said she was tried for murder and convicted of adultery.
So your piece, is it you doing a monologue as
I'm
her?
I am playing 9 characters.
Oh.
I'm playing Patty, a friend of hers who was a sister inmate, a childhood friend. There are 2 defense lawyers, a prosecutor, one of her daughters.
Wow. And Matthew, one of the trademarks of the French Festival, most of these pieces are relatively short, right? They're fast moving.
Yeah, they're each, at maximum, they're an hour. So we've got ones that are 20 minutes all the way to an hour this year.
What about yours, Elizabeth? How long is yours?
It can't be more than an hour. I'll get cut off.
At an hour, we have to turn the lights off to shift it to the next one.
Believe me, I have been cutting it down to an hour. It's what it will be.
Well, Dan Viggers, tell me about Big Hair, Big Dreams, the Donald Trump mini musical. That's the one you do with puppets. How did that all begin for you?
Like I was saying, there's this interview that he gave at his town hall on the Today Show where he said that he had a rough childhood, Trump did, and that he only received a loan of $1 million that he had to pay with interest. And my brain kind of exploded. So for the next 2 days, I was trying to get into his head to figure out how could he think that? How could he really think that he had a rough go of it? And then I just wrote this ridiculous story out of that.
Are you a puppeteer?
No, I'm not a puppeteer. I'm a composer, and I'm a writer, and I write comedy. So,
well, how'd the whole puppet angle?
The puppet angle came. I was coming up with this idea for this song called Red, White, But Blue, which is this kind of ridiculous patriotic song where the puppet Donald Trump gets a little upset about the changing race in America. So he's red, white, but he's blue. And it just reminded me so much of like a Kermit the Frog song. Like, I can't remember. What's the famous Kermit the Frog song?
Yeah, it sounds about rainbows.
Rainbows.
Yeah, just like the way that he sang that, and I was thinking of it in my head, sounded like Kermit, and I was like, oh, this is a puppet show. And then it kind of all came together at that point.
How are these acts chosen, Matthew?
They are chosen through lottery. So you submit, and the first 10 people, as soon as it opens, are automatically in for the local scene and the national scene. And then from there, everyone else is filled in by a lottery that we hold about a month later.
I see. So Elizabeth and Dan, is this part of your plan maybe to go on to other fringe festivals? Could that happen?
Oh, I definitely plan to, absolutely. I want to perform this anywhere where they'll let me.
I don't know. I didn't make the initial lottery, and then some time opened up about a month ago, so I just found out about this about a month ago. It's been a mad rush to get this thing together. But yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I'll do that.
I think both of your pieces are good because they really contrast. I mean, Dan, yours is going to have a lot of laughs, I know.
Yeah, this is silly. This is maximum silliness. Right.
Elizabeth, not yours.
No.
Wow.
No. Yeah.
And you really want to convince Governor Nixon to give this lady a pardon.
Absolutely. And this is the time to do it. He's term limited out this year. So take her home, please.
Is he going to be there?
I don't know, but I promise you he'll hear about it.
I'd like to ask you all if there are other acts that you've seen or that you're looking forward to seeing, just kind of to give us an idea of kind of the variety of things that there will be.
I am looking forward to the family series. I am looking forward to it because it offers a variety of things for families to do. For $10 for your family, you can see a 30-minute adaptation of The Diary of Anne Frank by O'Fallon Theater Works. You can get an improv class, a family improv class by the Drama Club STL, and you can get arts and crafts from the Happy Camper Studio.
You know, I think your website is really essential for people to kind of figure out where they want to go and what they want to see.
Yep, stlfringe.com.
Elizabeth, what are you familiar with in the festival this year? What are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing a dance show. I can't wait to see that about Donald Trump. And I'm seeing this brochure for the first time, and I'm seeing all kinds of things I want to see. So,
anything jump to mind for you, Dan?
We did the press preview earlier this week, wasn't that right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And there's this guy, Z the Illusionist. That was pretty mind-blowing. Guesses everybody's cards. And there's the magician. Who's the magician?
Keith Joseph, 25-year veteran magician.
Matthew, you're taking over this festival from founder M. Pirro. But I think you've been working together for this one, right?
We have. It's true. She finished on the 19th of July, and I've been flying solo since then.
So I think you were involved in this a couple of years ago.
I was. I was what we call the Fringe Meister, which is what the award we give at the end of the festival in 2014 for a piece called Gay Fantasia, which is my performance that I wrote that's about the last days of the Harvey Milk era and the first days of the HIV/AIDS crisis.
And I know you moved back to St. Louis a couple of years ago and you founded something called the Drama Club STL.
It's true, I did.
What's that all about?
We are a kids acting school in Maplewood where you can start at age 3 with imaginative play, and we go all the way through to 18 to do improv and acting.
Well, it all begins tonight, and you're doing something special on the closing night.
We are. Fun Home the Musical is sponsoring our closing night extravaganza over at the KDHX stage, and we're going to have prizes, and we're going to have acts to perform, and we're going to name our new Fringemeister for the year.
Final question for all of you, whatever you'd like to say. For someone that's never been to a Fringe Festival, this one or any one, how's it going to hit them? What kind of experience is it going to be?
Well, I think people in St. Louis are going to be blown away by the creativity that's going to be right there at their fingertips for 2 weeks.
And variety.
Yeah.
Huge variety of shows in this, right?
I think they're going to walk away and go, that was not at all what I expected, and I can't wait to go back the next time.
Yes.
That was Steve Potter speaking with St. Louis Fringe Festival Executive Director Matthew Kearns and festival participants Dan Viggers and Elizabeth Townsend. The festival begins this evening and continues through August 27th at 6 venues in Grand Center. More information is available at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at current legal issues with St. Louis Circuit Attorney Jennifer Joyce and our other legal roundtable panel of experts. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Kim Oswalt, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Arts and culture programming on St. Louis on the Air is funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.